Welcome to the 10K a Day Dentist, the podcast that breaks the speed limit called average. This is a fast lane where dentists go to get there quickly. Now here's your host, the 10K a Day Dentist, Dr. Bill Williams.
Yes, welcome to the 10K a Day Dental Podcast, or as I like to say, the short way, it's the 10K way. I'm excited you're here, and I'm excited to have one of my best buddies in dentistry. I've known him for over 38 years, Dr. Nick Myers from Scottsdale, Arizona. He's with us today. Before I bring him in, though, let me tell you what he wants you to know about him. I graduated from Loyola University in Chicago in 1979. My career began as a prison dentist working at a maximum security prison for one full year, and then the next part-time working on North Michigan Avenue in Chicago that next year and a half. And that was literally 180 degrees, the opposite of my prior experience. I honed my clinical skills on a more well-heeled crowd, but that was short-lived as I wanted to have my own shop and a change in scenery. So off to Effingham, Illinois, I went to live and play in the country. What a nice and simple time that was. It was at this point that I met my future wife on a canoe trip in Canada. My budding interest in TMJ and orthodontics grew and grew, so much that it dominates my thoughts of dentistry in the health and well-being of man. Thousands of hours of CE have been sat through and participated in. We have two beautiful adult daughters who have given us now three beautiful grandchildren. My book has been widely received around the world, The Holistic Dental Matrix. Now, how your teeth can control your health and well-being is used as a handbook for those seeking answers to their health that have eluded others. So I want you to welcome Dr. Nick Meyer to the 10K Day of Dentist podcast. Welcome, Nick.
Well, thank you, Bill. Thank you very much for the opportunity to share some time with you today and anybody who's listening to this.
Yeah, we go back a long way, 38 years. Tell everybody how we met, if you remember that day.
Boy, Bill, I don't know the exact day. We had brushed shoulders a few times at some myotronic seminars, and I was just pretty much in awe of this young guy who was looking only about a year older than I am, of all that he had accomplished. And the next thing I knew, I was taking and signing up for your TMJ framework program down in Stone Mountain, Georgia.
I remember those days. 1985 was our first class, and you were right there in the beginning somewhere.
I can tell you where. It was in 1987 through 1988 because I had just started the process of moving out to Arizona, and I completed my last session four after I had moved out here. So that was in November of 1988 is when we moved. So it was in that early 88, maybe even as late as 89 for the last session.
Well, you were in our third class. That means that was a preeminent time because we had finally figured it out after about 3 years of doing that particular class. So you're a stellar example of what can happen when you put your mind to it. And tell them about the ICMO that we've been doing. That's pretty much an ongoing thing that we haven't stopped doing for the last 25, 30 years.
Yeah, you're right, Bill. I've been involved with ICMO, which is the International College of Craniomandibular Orthopedics, now for 35 years. Started out as doing the thing and learning, and as we all did, and then saw that I could get some advanced clinical discipline and became a fellow. And shortly thereafter, I became a master. And anymore, I attend, not only attend, but participate in the programs with ICMO, as you do, by giving presentations on either the national scene or the international scene. So we've got one coming up in just another week and a half. Well, my wife and I are headed off to Moscow, Russia, where I'll be again participating as a speaker with the organization. And my topic this year is going to be oxidative therapies as an adjunct to the chronic facial pain patient.
I like it.
So that's a mouthful. And basically what it means is, how can a dentist utilize a high dose of vitamin C and ozone therapy in the alleviation of pain that stems from the origin within the oral cavity. And this is a big part of my practice today. I've been using ozone now for about 5 years. I've been using IV high-dose vitamin C at least 2 years now. And to give you an idea, the what we're using, it's typically anywhere from a 35-gram or a 50-gram dose in an IV during a surgical appointment that we're doing for somebody, or as a standalone. It doesn't have to be during a surgery. We also combine the vitamin C, Bill, with some micronutrients in a concoction that's called it's not named after me, but bears a similar name, a Myers cocktail. So it's a group of micronutrients which are administered via IV over a period of about 40 minutes. And that gives a big boost to the body, and because there's so many of these are lacking in people that are coming to us that are ill, that they're depleted at so many levels. So it can help them feel good almost within 12 to 24 hours in and of itself.
Yeah, you know, I think I'm familiar with that in a way, because I was at my functional medicine practitioner and I went through a series of chelation type of IV treatments. And I'm sure I think the vitamin C was a major component, trying to just clear out the toxins in the body.
Yeah, well, I'm sure you had at least the high dose vitamin C and the like. And so we have that and been using that. We bring in a medical anesthesiologist for a long, heavy conscious sedation protocols that we do when we're doing certain procedures here in the practice.
Excellent. And so we track along in about 1990, 92, we started working with the Solstice Research Study Club, and you became part of that. You remember going through our summer and winter solstices as a study club?
Oh, yes, I certainly do. And that's one of the highlights of the mastermind endeavors that I've been able to participate in, because it's the kind of thing that helps you get outside of your own thinking when you have other men or women that are involved with this particular kind of a mastermind study club that give you insights to potentially block some of the thinking that you have, give you a way to see differently some of the struggles that you're looking for. So, you know, there are times that you can attend a meeting and you're just on what the term would be sponge mode, where you've been kind of stressed out, needing to have a recharge, or you're there to fully participate and bounce your ideas off against each other and come up with some high level new ideas for not only for your practice, but the whole philosophy of your own life, which is quite important, as you know.
I like that analogy of being a sponge, but you know, if we had allowed a guy named Bob to come in, we would have had a SpongeBob.
Yep, and I bet he would have had square pants.
There you go.
So
let's look at the question. You know, how did you get from being an average, everyday, normal dentist? And I know you travel the neuromuscular highway, but how did you become a holistic practitioner in medicine and dentistry?
Well, it really started after I made the move from North Michigan Avenue in Chicago to a little country practice where I was the only dentist in a town of 1,700 people. So that town, after I took over the practice from a retiring dentist, I retained the staff, and this woman came, who had been working for me, came in one day and says, "Dr. Meyer, I'm going to have to quit." And I said, "Why?" And she says, "Well, I've been diagnosed with MS. Well, in that time, back in 1982, even back then, I had no idea really what MS was about, but she had it. She left me, and she went off to do some different kind of therapies, et cetera, and looking for answers for her problem. Now, mind you, this is long before cell phones and internet. So however she found this was a miracle for her. Now, she came back and she brought me about an eighth of an inch thick packet of paper, which I still have today because I was enamored with it. And it was from a doctor out in Las Vegas called at the place called the Las Vegas Clinic, I remember. And in that paperwork was literature from German researchers that coordinated teeth to various body parts. Well, I was kind of open-minded, and I said, my, isn't this interesting? So right there, just having the openness, the open-mindedness to say, isn't this interesting, rather than saying, oh, I don't believe it. I can't do anything with this information. I kept it, and I referred to it often. Well, aside from that, she had a list of directions for me. She had mercury fillings as safely as you can, which at the time was under a rubber dam, and then restore the teeth with this very particular gold alloy, which I don't remember the exact name of it, but I worked with my lab and we got that alloy, had it all worked out, so that over a matter of, oh, a number of visits, I did my first, at the time, what it's now called the dental revision. And so I did the, and the other thing about it was to take out the mercury fillings in a specific sequence. So it wasn't enough just to remove them, but it had to do with the sequence of the removal of the fillings. Now, back then, I had no idea of a man named Dr. Hal Huggins, who would later become one of my mentors, which I also ran across then on the holistic highway of life. But the neuromuscular was one of the early underpinnings of the my introduction to what you would call a holistic medicine or holistic dentistry. And the reason that is because if you look at, I'm sure you're familiar with the Kinney-Funt Index, there's a chart of 50 symptoms related to people's ill-being regarding TMJ problems.
Yeah, you know, Kinney and Funt were both my mentors. I studied under both of them.
Yeah, so you're familiar with their work then. And so I started using that Kinney-Funt Index. And really, when you look at that whole thing and say, almost none of the symptoms that are on that sheet have anything to do with dentistry on the face of it. But when you start treating these people with what are many, many of those maladies or symptoms would go away, sometimes miraculously quickly. So seeing that and looking at that, I'm like, oh my gosh, and I'm a younger dentist. This is 35 years ago. So 5 years out of dental school, I says, boy, there's nothing like what I ever learned in dental school that I'm learning, watching, seeing, and doing, and people are getting better. I says, how cool is that? Well, that really just started to fuel more of this holistic side. So the introduction of the TMJ with the neuromuscular, and then layering on the what would now be called biological side of the amalgam sequential removal or the like, and then what I've added over the years, the high dose vitamin C and the ozone, et cetera, et cetera. So as my own awareness changed and deepened, and my experience deepened, my expertise in what I was doing deepened, I would find getting harder and harder cases would coming my way. And so now I see a wide diversity of we would call red cases. Red cases are multi-symptom, multi-discipline multi-discipline dysfunctions within an individual that take a great deal of listening and as well as awareness to pick out how you're going to proceed with this individual that's coming for care. And I have to say, most of the time, the way I like to start, because I've seen the power of neuromuscular dentistry for over 30 years, I start with that. Most people, aside from knowing all the things that we're doing now, over the years, I never did any of these more advanced procedures, but I'm sure people had those problems. And as I worked with them and just doing straight, plain, vanilla neuromuscular or neuromuscular a la framework techniques, people would getting better. Not everybody. And it was always those people that weren't getting better that drove the question, why? Why aren't they getting better? And then the next question, what can I learn or where can I learn to help them get better the next bit. So each one of the ones that were, say, an unsuccessful outcome from the plain vanilla neuromuscular standpoint springboarded me into learning more and then being able to do more and help more.
Isn't this about the place where most dentists give up and stop their progression, and they may become a TMJ dentist or a sleep dentist, combination sleep disorder TMJ, but they don't really go beyond to the biologic? That's pretty much a dividing line, right?
Yeah, I think so. That seems to be the dividing line. And I am now maybe shifted my awareness, but I am seeing some different windows starting to open, or doors are opening for those people and those mindsets. And I'm helping to open some of them with the research that I've been doing, my clinical research, and going out and talking about it. It's just like this program in Moscow. 2 years ago, we were together down in Buenos Aires, Argentina, and I gave a talk on microbiology, the findings in the microbiology side of what are called cavitations, or areas of ischemic bone disease, which it's one of those inconvenient truths, like the profession doesn't want to talk about it very much, but I see it quite regularly. I do biopsy analysis. I do DNA using polymerase chain reaction protein analysis. And Dr. Richie Shoemaker, who's a specialist in molds, asked me to participate in an ongoing clinical study, which is still going on today, almost into its third year, of looking at MARCONS, which is an acronym for multiple antibiotic resistant Staphylococcus coagulase negative organism. That is, he finds it and started finding it in people that had suffered from an environmentally acquired illness through, in his area out in Pocomoke, Maryland, water damaged buildings. So these mold spores and biotoxins came from overgrowth of mold, and these people were in these buildings. They didn't even know why they're getting sick, and it took Richie, who's a good Dr. Shoemaker, is a very good clinician and a investigator, and he discovered that people were all had this in most of the people had this in common, which was these mold damaged buildings, and that set him off on a whole different tangent for his practice career. So that's, I've been continuing to look at this and develop a very in-depth database of the MARCONS, and then the PCR DNA analysis. I have something interesting to put down, because I'm like National Enquirer. I've got an inquiring mind and a desire to know. I says, well, maybe is there something else going on that I can look for within my normal world of general dentistry and sleep disordered breathing? And the thought occurred to me, it says, well, you know, some of these symptoms sound like they could be coming from sleep apnea, or at least people that have airway disturbances. So what I did is, everybody that I've done these procedures on, I have a cone beam. I've used the Galileo's comfort unit for 13 years. And so I went back, I had my research assistant go back, and we measured every one of the airways at the point of narrowest pinch point. And according to Dr. Dave Singh, the diameter of the airway should be normal of 16 millimeters. Well, we're measuring ones and twos and fives and eights and tens. And so that was one measure. Everybody was deficient on that pharyngeal airway passage. And then the other point we looked at was the intramolar distance measured on it would be the lingual surface of the upper first molar. So from the mesial lingual cusp to the mesial lingual cusp, we're looking for approximately an 18 millimeter distance there. And everybody was narrower. Now, if when we're looking at this, and I don't know the weighting of this, and this is an interesting study, but basically I'm going to say an assert from the research shows that my population is about 50 people now we have airway deficient people that have these problems. And I don't know, this is now the next question, I don't know, is there a group of people that around the country we can make a similar measurement from and get a much greater database of people that do the same kind of procedure so that we can pool our efforts?
Now, you just kind of hit on something that might pique a lot of people's interest. Is there a group of doctors around the country who can do X, Y, and Z? So you may have to put a little note together on our show notes as to what those one, two, three things are measured, and maybe there'll be some people that'll be interested and can tag along.
Yeah, I would think so. Anybody that's involved with airway dentistry, this is another vital component and area to look for, a physiological outcome of airway deficiency. And I'm not saying that it's causative necessarily, but it is certainly related clinically, because everybody that we've looked at has this problem. Now, there's other physiological parameters that I would love to explore, but I'm a practice of one doing this area of interest that I have and collecting this data with my patient population.
There's not that many dentists out there that are doing this, but there are academies that promote the training and a gathering place for like-minded dentists. What are some of those? I know you've been the president of some.
Yeah, so I'm a past president and also now president-elect of the International Academy of Biological Dentistry and Medicine. And so that's one of them. There's another group, the International Academy of Oral Medicine and Toxicology, has a group of people that are into this, as well as then the Holistic Dental Association. So there's a lot of members are cross-fertilized, meaning they're members of a couple different of the organizations. So one person could be in two or even three of the organizations just to support them and have a presence within. So that's a very good area.
Tell us about your particular niche. You know, you serve people in different ways. We got about 10 more minutes. We want to discuss that issue. What kind of patients come to you? I know they come from far and wide.
I've got be considered a national practice. I do have people come from around the country here. They're really looking for answers to their unique health challenges. So they have most of the time, the conventional medical community has failed them. They find their way into holistic healthcare practitioners. I'm very well connected in that community. So some of the people find me through referral from a practitioner, say in St. Louis or in New York or Alabama, you name it, wherever that could be the source. Or our biggest referral source, frankly, is the internet. And through keyword searching, people have their maladies, I'll pop up. I'm also, I show up on groups that are Lyme literate doctors, LLDs. And so part of my TMJ population are people that actually have a dominant Lyme disease problem that they need to have Lyme disease treatment, irrespective of whether they have a TMD problem or not, because many of the symptoms of Lyme show up as a TMD. So I've had to include that into my differential early on. If, oh gosh, 10 years ago or more is when I first started seeing that connection. So now it's just part of my differential diagnosis with people. So I have a different listening to people on my intake now because of that.
That's a clear message that the overlap of diseases mimic what was called the great imposter for many years, the TMJ area. That brings to mind the redox oxidation reduction and the oxidation happening with the redox signaling molecules in the mitochondria and in individual cells of the body. I've been reading a lot about that lately, and I see where Lyme's disease is very serious, and people that get the redox molecule actually have improvement of symptoms. So it must be tied in to something that you've already caught a hold of.
Yeah, I first became aware of that Redox product about 3 years ago at Snowbird, Utah, and happened to have lunch with Dr. Gary Samuelson regarding that SIA product, and it's a marvelous product with a wide application because there's so much in the world of reactive oxygen species that the oxidative, you know, everything in our body is a redox reaction of some kind. And it's when things go out of balance, that's when the diseases occur. So the products like that and others, which there's a plethora of them out there, not saying that are like the ASEA, but other things that help balance your internal milieu of your body, it really help restore homeostasis to the system. And it's not just there's not just one drug or one cough medicine that you can take anymore that's going to take care of the problem that it used to back 50 years ago. Was more one drug, one malady, one potion, and you could get by with it. And it's not that way anymore. There's so many asymmetrical attacks to the human body require a different thinking. It's an asymmetrical thought pattern. And the algorithms that I use are actually, it's free to anybody that's listening. In my book, Chapter 1, The Holistic Dental Matrix, I give away as a freebie the actual matrix that's on the website, drnicholasmeyer.com. And that chart, the matrix, is actually a chart that's very handy in helping you develop a thought process of how to get through some of these myriad of different health issues that show up that people have. Now, not everybody wants to take the time to learn and get into the thought process and the health issues of those people with chronic kind of problems, and they can be a bit demanding at times, but it's very rewarding when you are able to help them out of a bind where few others have the intellectual wherewithal to put those different pieces together.
Yeah, you're putting a puzzle together that's quite a mosaic, and it's a pretty strenuous work ethic to get through the curriculum to learn that, I know. Having started that journey in the 70s and continuing, you've managed to really put it together.
Yeah, well, thanks. Thanks. It's been ongoing. It's ever growing and ever expanding.
What would you like to share with your audience as far as your last words in terms of the vision you have?
My vision, very simply, is that I would like anybody that's listening to this podcast and others to think that dentistry is the center, ground zero of a healthcare model moving forward into the 2020s and beyond, because dentistry is so crucial and touches so many facets and aspects of somebody's life that it continues to amaze me, even after 40 years of practice, how impactful what it is that we in dentistry can do for somebody with the right products, the right pieces of acrylic, and the right little pieces of wire to work the magic that we can do it in changing the lives, taking a six-year-old and stopping them from bedwetting, for instance, or taking somebody with obstructive sleep apnea and dependent on a machine for their breathing and give them a device that can really reform their face, their airway, their air passage, and epigenetically grow into their full genetic potential where they don't need a management tool such as a CPAP. Now, there are some cases, there's always going to be exceptions to the rule, but dentistry, in my opinion, should be the center point of a healthcare model if we're really helping cure people, not just manage them through potions and lotions and where they become dependent.
Well, everything enters the body through the mouth that we consume, unless you talk about air, and that's pretty close to the same place. So we do have an effect on airway too with our oral devices. So I concur with you that this is the starting point for medicine. And once it gets inside the body, then it's maybe somebody else's job to take care of it. But it's certainly ours when the person begins life. They're sucking on a nipple. They're forming their face. They're exercising their muscles, their jaws. And as they develop and grow epigenetically, you know, there's a form and a function for everything. And if an environment impedes it, it leads to malfunction and dysfunction.
Yep, you got it.
Well, I tell you what, it's been an excellent time getting back together with one of my old buddies. I think that Scottsdale, Arizona is very fortunate to have you down there at Millennium Dental Associates, and your website is milldental.com, M-I-L-L-dental.com. So people around the country that are seeking answers that they can't find locally will and do call you. So I've been to your office. I've seen it's modern. It's beautiful. I've seen that the patients that come are sometimes quite famous. You've got some celebrity characters that show up from Los Angeles and New York and all around.
Yep, that's for sure, Bill.
If you have one thing you want to add, say it's either a website that I didn't mention or a freebie that you didn't mention, what would you remind us? What was that that you were going to give away?
Well, as a freebie,
or make available?
Chapter one of the book is available on the website, drnicholasmeyer.com. And it's free with the matrix that's within it. My book is available on Amazon. It's available on Kindle. Or if you order through the website that was just given, you'll give an autographed copy to boot.
All right. Well, I do know it's a book that is suitable for the layman, written to the layman, but it's also suitable for the dentist because 98% of what's in that book, most dentists don't know, or they don't seem to be aware of it. So it's a very in-depth book for lay and professional readers.
Yep, it is. That was designed that way on purpose. It was all on purpose.
I know. I enjoyed reading it. So, Dr. Myers, thank you for a lifetime of giving and service. Thank you for your friendship. And this is Dr. Bill Williams on the $10,000 Day Dentist. We'll see you along the 10K way.
Thanks for listening to the 10K a Day Dentist podcast. If you enjoyed the show today, please subscribe, rate, and recommend on iTunes and your other listening or viewing services. Dr. Williams asks that you like and share the podcast with a friend. And if you want more great information, visit 10kway.com and check out the show notes for more great resources. Thanks again for listening. And don't forget, get your free copy of Dr. Williams' number one best-selling ebook, The $10,000 a Day Dentist, and other surprise bonuses at 10kway.com.